What really got me to Dietz's workshop is some recent invitations to participate in some scientific interdisciplinary research that that just came up this past year. I was invited as a because of my interest in this area, I was invited as, to be a part of a research team, interdisciplinary group of scientists who were studying a major channel, probably the most famous of all of the channels in the recent decades, Jay-Z Knight. We were invited to do some testing and looking into the phenomenology surrounding the channeling phenomenon. I was extremely busy at the time, but I could not resist an opportunity to get back to come full circle in my research, to take me back to where I had left off some time before and get back into this. So tomorrow I'll share with you a little bit about what is going on in that ongoing research project. But what I wanted to do to, this morning, want to start out, in order to understand even the questions that get asked about spirit possession, for example, and the whole idea of paranormal phenomena that is so reported so, in such a widespread basis today, even to begin to get at what some of the issues are around this and why people argue about this and why there, in some circles, there's very little attention to massive amounts of data. It's like if you survey the scene as we will do today, and especially tomorrow, you would be amazed, I think, to find out how easy it is for people to think of themselves as scientists, simply to ignore massive amounts of data, and simply because of a chosen ideological paradigm in science, what sort of kind of a tribal science, I might say, that huge amounts of data that call for scientific investigation get ignored. This is not unusual. If you've read The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, it's very common for scientists to ignore new data or even old data until the evidence gets so overwhelming that it just totally changes the scientific paradigm. So we're going to look at some of the data that's being ignored, but we're also wanting to start with getting ourselves a little sense of the cultural background which makes it difficult for us to research certain topics today. Now, some of these folks here in this room, I think, could teach this whole cultural history dimension of this better than I. But those of you who have not had a background in cultural history may have a hard time understanding why it is that some people are so gullible about so-called spiritual phenomena and are willing to commit suicide to get to the spaceship behind the Hale-Bopp comet. Others of you will be amazed at why so many people that you would think would be interested in what's happening in terms of interest in spiritual phenomena today are simply just ignoring it. So we'll be turning on that. But the first thing I want to do this morning is to give you a little shorthand here for what we can just call three kinds of paradigms of thought, two which have been discussed a great deal by scholars, and one which is in the process of trying to get born. I'm going to talk about the pre-modern views of spirituality, world and spirituality and the human and evil, and then we'll talk about the modern cultural organization or the cultural paradigm. How many of you are history majors? Done some modern history? Okay. Well, see, if you've done a lot of history, this will be very familiar to you. If you haven't, it may not be. But we'll look at the modern world, what Ken Wilber has come to call flatland. And that's really the world that particularly dominates in universities. The further you get out from universities, the less flat it is. In fact, if you get on the internet and you surf a while, you will be amazed at the different terrains of human consciousness that you run into. And so you can, right there in your own home office with your computer, you can become a computer chair anthropologist. And you know, I had to go out and do all these thousands of hours of field work with a lot of these different groups in order to find out about them back in the 70s. But you don't have to do that. You can go, they all got web pages now. So you can do your own anthropological work, at least get started on it with your PC. But in the world of flatland, which the universities tend to live in, and particularly middle and upper middle class scholars and intellectuals, the world, the cultural complex we call modernity, is the reigning paradigm. And it's very important for us to look at that and get that conscious, just like we would get a complex conscious. Because if you don't get the culture of modernity conscious up on the screen so you can see it as an entity, a relatively discrete entity, you will sort of be in it like a fish in water, and it'll be hard for you to see what it is. What we need to know is most psychologies live in flatland. Almost all psychiatry lives in flatland. Vast amounts of social work. Almost all public policy people. So much of the so-called human sciences that we see operant in universities and in public policy today represent that middle phase there. And it's very interesting. In flatland, as we'll see in a minute, there is no evil. Period. There's no evil. Does not exist in flatland. So we'll spend a good bit of time on that, trying to get a feel for that, because that's what you have to understand what Jung was trying to deal with. If you want to understand the difference in Carl Jung's psychology and those of us today who are trying to continue his project forward, you have to get a sense for what Jung was trying to get beyond. What he started out in flatland. The third is, as I say, trying to get born. We don't know whether this is going to be a stillbirth or not. But we can say there's a lot of talk today about postmodernity. And there are lots of different viewpoints about what that is. And so we will want to look at some ferment about trying that is being brought about by folks that are trying to get us beyond flatland. They're trying to get us beyond the narrow cultural complex, we might call it, of modernity. So we'll talk a little bit about this, and we're going to try to do all this before we take a break at probably 11 o'clock, so this is going to be fast. I am something of an Iliade scholar, and I want to recommend that, like I do to all my friends that are trainees in Jungian analysis, I want to recommend that you too become an Iliade scholar. Mircea Eliade, the great historian and phenomenologist of religion, who lived many years. He was Romanian born, but for many years lived in Hyde Park, where I live, there on the campus of the University of Chicago. He's the primary figure for you to study if you want to get a feeling for the world before flatland. The world that what he called homo religiosus, religious human beings, experienced. And I want to point out just a number of things about what Eliade, there are a number of my lecture series here at the Institute in the past have touched on a variety of aspects of Eliade's work. My lectures on sacred space and transformation, my lectures on the mythology, the various mythologies, the myth and psyche lectures, the lectures on cosmos and selfhood, the mythology of cosmos and the struggle for selfhood. So I have elaborated various aspects of this, and if you're interested in that, you can examine, listen to those, get those from the library and listen to them. But what I want to emphasize is that for the pre-modern human, wherever our primate forebears were put down, whether it was South America, whether it was Africa, whether it was Siberia, wherever, you take our forebears and you put them down somewhere and they will manifest a mythic imagination. And they will live in myth and ritual and symbolic apprehensions of the world. And one of the things you can say about the world, the cosmos that pre-modern human beings inhabited, was that they lived under a sacred canopy. That is to say, unlike those of us who try to live in flatland, under the sacred canopy, there was no idea that you had to create all the meaning for your life, such as the modern existentialist tended to think. The world was alive with meaning. In fact, the world was ensouled, full of soul.